LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. New York City comptroller and mayoral candidate Brad Lander returning to immigration court in Manhattan today. Federal agents took Lander into custody during a courtroom scuffle Tuesday afternoon. Today, Lander was seen escorting someone accompanied by federal agents. Here's Lander at a news conference.
It is a deeply traumatic, evil place upstairs. It is not justice, and it's a shame right now on the United States of America.
More than 100 million Americans have to be on alert as extreme heat blankets the nation this weekend. Chicago under it, temps expected in the 90s, but the heat index could go as high as 105. Mayor Brandon Johnson.
We are 1 month away from the 30-year anniversary of the 1995 heat wave, the deadliest heat wave in American history. We lost more than 700 Chicagoans. Most of them were the elderly and the poor.
This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers have proposed legislation that would change the way the school voucher program is funded. The bill would use the state's general purpose revenue to fund school vouchers rather than state aid and local property taxes. Proponents of the legislation say it would provide property tax relief to residents and could increase state funding for public schools. Critics of the proposal, including Governor Tony Evers, raised concerns about the possibility of choice schools receiving more funding than the state's public schools. With extreme heat in the forecast across the state over the weekend, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation is warning residents to be on the lookout for pavement buckling. When weather conditions go from cool to extremely hot quickly, the slabs of pavement in the road could begin to expand and push against each other. If the pressure gets high enough, the pavement can buckle and create an unexpected bump or dip in the road. Residents should remember to buckle up, keep their eyes on the road, and watch for slowing traffic and roadside workers. The Burnett County Sheriff's Office says the Federal Aviation Administration is investigating the Wednesday crash that saw a small plane crash into Mudhead Lake in Daniels Township. According to a press release, the crash was reported at around 3:15 on Wednesday afternoon. The pilot of the plane, identified as 79-year-old Craig Johnson of Hudson, was the only occupant of the plane and was not injured in the crash. Authorities say he managed to exit the plane on his own and was found on a pontoon boat operated by a Good Samaritan who saw the crash. The 75th annual Muskie Festival officially kicks off in Hayward today. The three-day catch-and-release fishing contest is being hosted by the Hayward Lake chapter of Muskies, Inc. and the Hayward Bass Club. In addition to the fishing, the event will also feature live music on the Main Street stage throughout the weekend, a car show, a lumberjack chopping and sawing contest, and carnival rides for kids. The Sawyer County Dairy Breakfast will also be held a couple miles down the road on Saturday from 6:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball? The Brewers open a three-game series tonight against the Minnesota Twins. The crew held on to beat the Cubs 8-7, thanks to closer Trevor McGill, who had several pitches over the plate called balls instead of strikes. Was the home plate umpire erratic? We asked Pat Murphy.
Erratic. Is there a strategy?
Was he? You said it. I did not say that.
Correct. I said it.
It's a waste of time, in my opinion, for managers to address umpires on balls and strikes. It's a waste of time.
Basketball, the Pacers came roaring back with a 108-91 victory over the Thunder in the NBA Finals. Oshkosh, Wisconsin's Tyrese Halliburton on the decision to play despite a strained calf muscle injury.
I just wanted to be out there and fight, and just had to have an honest conversation with coach that, you know, if I didn't look like myself and, you know, was hurting the team, like, sit me down.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton. Game 7, Sunday night in Oklahoma City. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with maybe a stray storm and lows in the mid-70s. This weekend, extreme heat warning. Mostly sunny, hot, breezy and humid. Highs mid-90s, heat index triple digits. Some storms Sunday night and Monday. Currently 81 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
Three in four people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Mayer on air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen, great to have you with me. It is... Boy, there is no excuse not to be in a good mood today. I mean, it is Friday. We're finally seeing the sun. This is the first day I walked from the parking garage to the studio and did not get rained on, I think all week. So summer appears to officially be here by way of the summer solstice and also the temperatures and the sunlight. And it is a beautiful day, at least here in Northeast Wisconsin. I hope you're having a great day wherever you are. I hope the weather is beautiful. And if not, we'll bring some sunshine one way or the other, folks. We're going to light it up tonight, and it's great to have you with me. Sitting in for the K-Man once again is the wonderfully talented, award-winning social media expert and radio producer, Amanda Nimmer.
Who's also going to be like, hey, Pete, silence your phone.
Did it go off again?
It did.
Don't you think that makes me sound busy, though? I don't know. I hear that sometimes when I listen to the radio. It doesn't bother me. But it bothers you.
They're so popular. Wow.
And exactly.
Stars. They're just like us.
This guy can't even turn it off when he's on the radio. So you've been on the air. Is that what you used to do? Were you always good about silencing your phone?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Definitely had to because my text tone is obnoxious.
What is it?
You're going to call me a nerd again.
Well, we're talking about nerds tonight. So
it is. So if anyone's ever played Legend of Zelda...
Oh.
It is the little fairy Navi going, hey, listen.
That's a word? That's like dialogue from the game?
Hey,
oh,
listen.
Oh, funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that game because I introduce films on PBS Wisconsin. I introduce all the POV and independent lens films. And there's one, I can't remember the name of the film, but it's about, I think they underwent... they had a gender identity issue. And I think the record was set. I have to remember the name. It was someone from Wisconsin set the record for The Legend of Zelda.
Really?
Is there another name, like a sub name in there?
Well, I mean, there's like a variety of different games. There's Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask, Ocarina of Time.
That's it. Ocarina of Time.
Mm.
She set the record and then she came out as trans and people turned on her. She had all these followers. She did it in like 18 minutes or something like that. It was something insane. And but now she's got her followers back and she's supposed to be, it's a phenomenal story. I would recommend checking it out. I'm going to have to look that up.
Very intrigued because, I mean, I played that game all through my childhood and I'll replay it once in a while.
I'll find out the title and give it to you.
I'll look for it.
It's really good. Yeah, you won't be disappointed. If you are disappointed, I will pay for your viewing. It's on PBS, so it's free, but I'll still pay for it. Hey, we got a great show. All right, Amanda's sitting in. We're talking about, we got great guests tonight. There's a big tattoo festival here in Green Bay this weekend, the Green Bay Tattoo Festival. Joining us from the festival is Quinn Hurley, who will be here over the phone at 6:35. We're going to find out more about this really cool thing. If you are in Green Bay or Northeast Wisconsin and you are into tattoos, this sounds like the place. Quinn is driving here from Fort Wayne just to be part of this. It's a spectacle. There's like 3,000 participants, people visiting, attendees, if you will, 200 artists, 30 vendors, and it lasts for 3 days. Do you have a tattoo? I think you said
yesterday. I got three of them. It's actually, so two of them my late husband drew. He used to be a fine line artist, so he has created like flash sheets and whatnot for tattoo studios in the past.
Wow. Is that what he did, like, for a living?
No. He never really made money off his art. He was one of those people who had the talent, but the second he had a commission, he just had no motivation whatsoever. Like, I just got nothing.
But it's kind of nice that you have a tattoo to remember him by, though. This is very cool.
No, I got two of them. We have, like, five other people who have his work on them, too. He was good.
Nice. Well, feel free to jump in. You can ask Quinn a question, too. You probably know more about tattoos than me. I almost got a tattoo.
You don't have any?
I don't have any. And you know, like, I missed my chance. Because, like, in 1990, my now wife, then girlfriend, said, should we get tattoos? And it kind of appealed to me. But then I saw one day, like, my pharmacist had one. And I'm like, they're just not cool anymore.
You don't know what that pharmacist does on his off time.
But still, you got the white coat on and the little steps you walk up into the pills. It just didn't seem cool to me. I'm like if it was still just like bikers and criminals and rock and rollers, yeah, maybe I would do it. But I just thought, I don't know.
Well, I mean, nowadays there's so many different styles. So what you're thinking of is like, and I'm pretty sure Quinn can correct me if I'm wrong, is like the old Americana kind of style where it's just like old school. And now everyone's got like the fine line, the little fairy ones, the watercolor ones. They're doing cross stitching kind of ones. Like, I mean, tattoo world has erupted.
They always say
glow in the dark ones.
Glow in the dark tattoos.
Yes, with UV light.
That's not good if you're on a covert op or something.
I would hope they don't get it.
I would think they wouldn't. I would get one inside on my arm if I were still to get one because, you know, I was kind of in good shape when I was younger. I thought, oh, I'll get something around my arm, but then it's like, no, because when you get older, it just looks bad. And where else? I'm not going to, you know, get one in any precarious place. So maybe the inside of my arm, if I were still to get one. But I don't know what I'd get. Names of my kids, my wife. I don't know. What do you do?
I mean, I know my next one is going to be probably, and I'm going to sound like a nerd. I'm going to get the Pisces astrology sign.
Oh, because it's your sign?
No, God, no. It's my kids.
Oh, all right.
My kids are 10 days apart. Both are Pisces. And I was like, oh, that's better than just names.
Oh, that's
right?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an Aries, but I think that would be, I'm not really into that. Like, if my horoscope is right there in front of me and it pops up, I'll read it. But I'm not, like, pursuing it, you know? So I probably wouldn't do an astrological sign. I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
My last one was a little ghost squirrel.
Yeah,
just for funsies.
That's very subtle, too. I like that.
Just for funsies.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe that'll be our question on Monday. What tattoo would you get? Because I don't know. I don't know what I would do. Maybe Quinn will have some suggestions. Quinn will be here at 6:35. We're going to delve into tattoos. It's Green Bay Tattoo Festival this weekend, the 20th today through the 22nd. That'll be fun. And then, this is exciting. At 7:05, I think it was Aaron Carreno at the company meeting this week talked about Muskie Fest up in Hayward. So I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Muskies used to freak me out. I used to come up here to Wisconsin on vacation, and I remember thinking, or my relatives saying, oh, there's this big muskie in the Three Lakes area that was eating all the fish, and all these fishermen were trying to catch this big muskie. And the fish would have bite marks on them, and they thought it was this muskie, and I freaked out. I mean, I thought they get, like, what, 4 to 6 feet long or something like that? So I was like, they've always kind of scared me a little bit. And they do bite, apparently, if they under the right circumstances. So we'll talk to our guest, Chris Ruckdashel. We'll be here at 7:05. He's going to tell us all about Muskie Fest in Hayward. Isn't that the town where they have the big muskie on the outer limits of the town, I think?
Well, it's one of our stations, actually, and it's called Muskie.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So Chris will be here. And now we're going to talk about Muskie Fest. That'll be fun. But we're also going to talk about this cult classic of this movie called Bloody Hook that they show every year. It's an annual thing. It's a cult classic. It's from 1987. And the caption is, or the synopsis is, during a local fishing contest, people are being violently dragged into the lake and killed by a giant fish hook. Not even a giant fish. A giant fish hook.
Is this rubber 2.0? Like,
I've never heard of it. But I guess, I don't know if they shot it up there. We'll get some more information from Chris. This will be fun. I'm excited to talk to him about Muskie Fest and Bloody Hook. And then, ladies and gentlemen, this is very exciting. Back in the saddle, Terry Barr is finally done with her vacation. It was almost a month long. And I'm listen, she deserves a vacation, but a month?
I mean, all I'm hearing is jealousy right now.
I'm jealous. I want to be Terry Barr sometimes, so I'm a little jealous.
I mean, you ever
very
go,
well deserved.
You ever go through her social media and you're like, man, this girl has lived.
Oh, man. She's like, even on vacation, she's posting stuff. Mm-hmm. She just does not take a break. So she missed three Fridays, and it was awesome because Rocker filled in. He was phenomenal. It was great to talk to Rocker about music. And now Terry is back tonight, our original Bar Band Friday Night co-host, named after, of course, said co-host Terry Barr. So that's exciting. She's got two great bands we're going to talk about tonight. And I think it's time. We shouldn't put this off any longer. Today is McLovin's birthday. You've seen Superbad, right?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, one of the all-time, you know, one of the greatest characters in teen comedy history slash nerd is McLovin. So that inspired our question of the night.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I am not Conrad.
No worries. We don't even have to do it. I don't want to make your life difficult, Amanda.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, there
question.
We go.
Question.
Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Okay, in honor of McLovin's birthday, who is your favorite nerd? Could be from TV, films. If you know someone in your real life that's a nerd, tell us why. That's fine, too. There are no right or wrong answers, folks. There are only your answers. Text them in, and I will read them on the radio. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Phone lines, text lines are open. You can also text us on the app. Very easy to use. If you don't have it, shame on you. It's outstanding. And it's a great way to listen to Nightlight and all your favorite Civic Media shows. And you can also text in on the stream and leave a comment on YouTube, Facebook, or Twix. And if you're there, if you're on any of these outlets, give us a like or a follow while you're there. It's always fun to get likes and follows. What's more important, a like or a follow?
Depends what your goal is. More often than not, you want the follow because you're more than likely to get the content out there.
Yeah, right. That makes
but
sense.
The likes help push to get more followers.
Okay.
So
we need a little bump, I think, in both.
It's a little hand in hand, actually.
This is your area. This is your wheelhouse. And I know you've encouraged us to ask for likes or follows. I'm not that guy. I have trouble doing that. I've gotten better at it because no one else is going to do it. So, and I want people to listen to the show. So that's great.
If you're wondering where, by the way, you can go on Facebook.
Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
With Pete Schwabba. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's where the main stuff is.
Our question is on there typically every day. Did we get good responses today for the question?
I didn't even check. I saw a few.
I saw a few of them popped up. Today is the summer solstice, which is exciting. But, you know, it's exciting, but it's kind of like Christmas Day. The lead up to it is more fun when it's starting to get light out longer. Now that it's here, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but it's like all downhill till December 21st, till the winter solstice. It's all these damn solstices. So we get extra daylight tonight. That's fun. I have to ask you if you can tell me in a minute.
Okay.
Fat day. You mentioned this last night. Is that like a cheat day or what?
Oh, so fat weekend.
Fat weekend. Okay.
We do it about like, or should I wait? Should I wait so I can go into detail?
Wait. I'll tell you this before we go to the break. I had that thing where I drove here tonight and I look and there's a cop there. And I'm not a speeder, but for some reason I was going 83.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't even notice it. And I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm going to be late. You know, I always use, like, I didn't leave as much time today as I usually do. I was going to get here about 20 minutes before. But he didn't pull me over. tipping my hat to law enforcement.
Buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, right. All right, we are coming back. Amanda's going to tell us what Fat Weekend is, and we're going to hear from McLovin and read your text. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, I guess the question is, what defines a nerd? Welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba. Our question of the night is, who is your favorite nerd? It is McLovin's birthday. Christopher Mintz-Plass, I think is this. I don't even know how to pronounce it.
But I think that's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's his birthday today. So he was McLovin in Superbad, which Superbad to me, like the first 45 minutes, is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. I think it kind of goes a little bit south after that, but a really good movie. And some very funny stuff. I would say probably my favorite nerd, probably Milhouse from The Simpsons. Do you have one?
It's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the nerd world. It's hard to pick just one.
Just pick a friend of yours then, Amanda. It doesn't matter. It's easy for you. That's funny. So that is our question of the day. Do we have some, we have the McLovin clip. Maybe we should get people in the mood to respond to this because we're having some fun here on a Friday night. This is McLovin on his birthday, ladies and gentlemen.
That we couldn't do the one thing that we promised because we're dickless in confidence. Now we're never going to bone because of that used tampon Fogle. How do you get an retirement? I don't get it. He's got for brains. All right. How else can we get alcohol?
Yo guys. What's up?
Fogle, where have you been, man? You almost gave me a heart attack. Let me see it. You f***ed out or what?
No, man. I got it. It's flawless. Check it.
Hawaii. Mm-hmm. All right, that's good. It's hard to trace, I guess. Wait, you changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogle? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Oh, they let you pick any name you want when you get down there.
And you landed on McLovin?
Yeah, I was between that and Muhammad.
Why the f***? would it be between that or Muhammad? Why don't you just pick a common name like a normal person?
Muhammad is the most commonly used name on earth. Read a book for once.
Fogel, have you ever actually met anyone named Muhammad?
Have you actually ever met anyone named McLovin?
No, that's why you picked a dumb name.
You.
Give me that. All right. You look like a future pedophile in this picture, number one. Number two, it doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin.
What? One name? One name? Who are you, Seal?
Fogel, this ID says you're 25 years old. Why wouldn't you just put 21, man?
Seth, listen up, face. Every day, hundreds of kids go into the liquor store with their fake IDs, and every single one says they're 21. How many 21-year-olds do you think there are in this town? It's called strategy, all right?
Let's stay calm, okay? Let's not lose our heads. No. It's a fine ID. It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible. I mean, it's up to you, Fogel. This guy's either gonna think here's another kid with a fake ID, or here's McLovin, the 25-year-old Hawaiian organ donor. Okay? So what's it gonna be?
I am McLovin.
That's so great. He should probably be up higher on my list, but I've only seen that movie once. I just remember laughing hysterically. All right, so we're going to read the social media text first. Monica Hale says, Bill Nye, the science guy, especially the episode where he talked about naked mole rats, and comedian Don McMillan, who uses a PowerPoint presentation in his stand-up act to make math and engineering funny. Wow, Monica, that is a great pull. Don McMillan has been around forever, too. He was doing stand-up, I think, 10 years before I started, maybe even more. He's got to be in his 70s now. That's a great text. Thank you, Monica. Conrad Krieger, the kid Conrad, the K-man, Con, says, you may know him as McLovin, but I know him as Augie Farks.
Oh, that's a good movie, too.
What's that one from? It's a Paul Rudd movie.
It's a Paul Rudd movie where he has to, like, kind of, like, big brother, big sister this kid, which happens to be McLovin, yeah. And he's, like, into LARPing, live-action role-playing.
Is it a funny movie?
Oh, it's good.
I've never seen it.
It's good.
Sarah Jean on the social media. Oh, that's funny, Sarah. She says, Pete Schwabe is my favorite nerd.
She's not the only one. Tom from New Berlin said you, Pete.
Well, that was on the text line, right?
It was.
Yeah, I know. And that's fine. I know I'm not the coolest guy in the world, but you have categories of nerds too. Like people say, I'm a movie nerd. I'm a golf nerd.
Sports nerd.
Sports nerd. I'm a girl nerd. I love girls.
No, it doesn't never work that way. No. Sorry.
Yes. Tom from New Berlin also voted for me as his favorite nerd. Thank you, buddy. Great to hear from you, Tom. Dan from Wausau says, Harold from Red Green Show. I don't know that. Sorry, Dan. I don't know that show. Please elaborate, though. I'd love to know what it is and check it out. Unless you meant the Tom Green Show. I don't know.
One that might count could be Miss Frizzle.
Who's that?
From the Magic School Bus?
Oh, I don't know that.
Oh, my gosh.
See, maybe I am a nerd because I don't even get these references. Or I'm just lame. What's worse? I don't know. Carl Sagan is out of this world nerd-erific. That's Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. I was going to say Bill Gates, but weren't there rumors that he was like on the Epstein list? But then people said he just was like an assault. Like, the problem is that list, if you're on it, even if you didn't do anything, people will think you're on it. I can't imagine Bill Gates would do something like that. But he's a good nerd, too. Cheryl from Waukesha just texted in her name. Cheryl from Waukesha. Did I miss something? I don't want to miss anything, Amanda. Let me know if I missed something. Who else we got here? Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Amanda. My favorite nerd is Ted Anthony Michael Hall in 16 Candles. That is a great one.
Makes you think of Ducky, though, from Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink, yeah. Mm-hmm. John Hughes has had some good nerds. And you got Cameron Fry is a good nerd from Ferris Bueller. Carrie from Tosa says, Lane Meyer, John Cusack, and Better Off Dead. Another great one. But yeah, 16 Candles, I think. I mean, Anthony Michael Hall was like a nerd in everything in the 80s.
He was typecasted.
Molly Ringwald's underpants or something like that at the...
Oh, yeah. No, he was definitely typecasted. I think until he hit, like, you know, got out of that lanky, awkward phase, kind of bulked up a bit. Or was it when he did that, like, he almost died and he could, like, see the future show, whatever it was, see dead people? What is that?
That was a remake of a Christopher Walken film, and now I'm blanking.
My mom loved that
something
show.
Horizon? No. We'll find out. We'll Google it. We'll go to the Google. And Dan from Wausau gives us some clarification. The Red Green Show featured a long list of characters over its 15 seasons. There are some of the main cast members and characters they played. Main characters, Steve Smith, played Red Green. The Ledge Leader, Patrick McKenna. Red's nerdy nephew, Rick Green, played by Bill Smith. Red's friend and star of Adventures With. All right, we're coming right back. And we're talking tattoos. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority announced over $2.5 million in funding for workforce housing developments across the state on Thursday. The funding comes from the Vacancy to Vitality and Infrastructure Access Loan programs, which specifically aim to develop much-needed workforce housing. Most of the funding will be allocated to three workforce housing projects, including over $560,000 for a 27-unit workforce housing development in Chippewa County. The Wisconsin State Assembly voted unanimously to increase penalties for people found guilty of sextortion on Wednesday. Named Braden's Law in memory of a Wisconsin teen who took his own life as a result of a sextortion scheme, the law would allow sextortion perpetrators to be charged with felony murder if their victim commits suicide. The charges that would most accurately apply to the crime currently include a maximum sentencing of only 3.5 years. The legislation is now with the state Senate and appears likely to advance to Governor Tony Evers. A Ladysmith man has been sentenced to prison after stealing over $100,000 from his employer. According to Rusk County court documents, 27-year-old Lucas Jones was accused of stealing ATM cash deposits while an employee of the market at Ladysmith. The thefts occurred between May and December of last year, and authorities say he admitted to taking the money. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison and 3 years of extended supervision, and was also ordered to pay nearly $76,000 in restitution to the business. Polk County residents will soon start seeing anti-tobacco posters around the area thanks to a student contest organized by the Polk County Health Department and Western Wisconsin Tobacco-Free Alliance. County officials say local students submitted 21 posters for the contest, and 6 of those posters will be displayed throughout the area over the next few months. The contest was open to middle school students from Barron, Burnett, Pepin, Pierce, Polk, Rusk, and St. Croix counties. The posters direct residents to the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. No superhero movie will go into production without a finished script. It sounds like a no-brainer, but it had to be said. That is a declaration in the DC Universe by CEO James Gunn. Gunn says the movie industry is dying due to this very practice. Gunn, who's also made movies at Marvel Cinemas, says they are guilty of it too. The Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy director-producer says it's not that people don't want to see movies, it's just that studios make unfinished scripts. Everything starts with the script. Well, NBC tried to make a case for a Night Court reboot, and it was an okay idea for 3 seasons, but will not see a fourth. The original Night Court ran for 9 seasons in the 80s and starred Harry Anderson. Melissa Rauch took over behind the bench for the new iteration and said recently producers shopped the reboot to other networks after NBC canceled it in May. According to Variety, the show premiered in 2023 to excellent ratings and was almost immediately renewed, but the ratings dropped off fast and hard. Tough biz. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with maybe a stray storm and lows in the mid-70s. This weekend, extreme heat warning. Mostly sunny, hot, breezy, and humid. Highs mid-90s, heat index triple digits. Some storms Sunday night and Monday. Right now it's 80.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
LGBTQ rights are under attack. At 4:30, Patrick Faribault from Our Lives magazine joins to discuss what's at stake and how we celebrate Pride right here in Wisconsin. Don't miss the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. 6. 6.
I remember going up there, you know, just to see, just to look. And I sort of walked in, all these stunt guys with pulleys. Everyone was like,
I thought it was a bed.
Braced.
You guys got these labeled poorly.
Completely silent. Everyone was really concentrating. And then I kind of crept towards the
Tom Cruise
edge.
Thing?
And I looked at and Tom was just hanging there with his massive
What about that said bumper music?
I don't know. It's right next to it. Like, no, they're going to just fade out.
So I'm throwing Conrad under the bus for that one. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabo. We're having fun here on a Friday night. Conrad is off tonight. Well, he was on today. He worked with the guys in the morning, Mino and the mayor, and he had to catch up on sleep because they worked him to the bone. So Amanda Nimmer is filling in. And we're all doing this because Todd Michaels is on vacation, a well-deserved vacation for our fearless leader here in Northeast Wisconsin. I'm going to Madison Monday and Tuesday and doing my show from there, working with our fine producers in Madison, which is always fun, too. And I hope Todd is enjoying his vacation. And at the very least, we get to work together, Amanda. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's nice being able to...
Do you like working with me?
I do. It's a nice change of pace. Because, you know, there's so many people in the morning and there's so less people today.
But let me ask you this. Do you go, well, working with Pete will be a nice change of pace? Or do you go, I want to work with Pete. He's a talented guy. Oh, you took way too... You know what? We're going to move on. I've had enough of your nonsense. All right. We're going to keep moving this show along, folks. Our question of the night is, who's your favorite nerd? It is McLovin's birthday, and we're sort of celebrating that with our question of the night. We've got some good responses so far, and Dan from Wausau said, Tom Green is great, but not a nerd, just insane. Okay. He's an insane nerd.
He's definitely on the special spectrum.
He's fun.
You want to know who another good one is?
Who?
Al Yankovic.
Oh, yeah. Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself an egg and beat it. Eat it, Weird Al Yankovic. And Barb from Waukesha says Pee Wee Herman. That's a great one, too. He's kind of not really a nerd, though, because Paul Herman's is pretty cool. But when he's Pee Wee, he's a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
But I totally accept that. You could say that probably about any of the movie nerds, certainly. So let us know what you're thinking, folks. Who is your favorite nerd? That is our question of the night here at Nightlight. We're going to move on here and get to some really cool talk. I love when I have people on the show who know more about things than me. And honestly, these people are not hard to find. My interests are not that varied, so I don't know a lot about tattoos, but I'm about to welcome someone to the show, Quinn Hurley, who does know a lot about tattoos. And this is just the person to talk to because there's a huge tattoo festival in Green Bay as we speak. It starts today and goes through Sunday. It is my pleasure to welcome Quinn Hurley to Nightlight. Hey, Quinn.
Hey, Pete. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, it's fun to have you here, and I'm glad we got in touch. You tell me where you are right now, because I assume you're in Green Bay, but when we talked the other day, you were making your way up the coast, shall I say, in Wisconsin, to Green Bay.
Yes.
From Fort Wayne, right?
Yeah, Fort Wayne, Indiana is where we're from, which is the greatest city on earth. I'm going to say Green Bay is a very close second.
Ooh.
To everybody listening out there, but Fort Wayne is where everyone I love lives, so I, you know,
sure.
Gotta say it's Fort Wayne.
But
we live in Fort Wayne, and we're in Green Bay now at the KI Convention Center downtown.
You are literally 300 feet from us, so I'm excited for you. That's a great space, and I'm sure the convention is. I know the basics, Quinn. Like 3,000 attendees is what they're expecting, like 200 artists, 30 or 40 vendors. What else can you tell us about this really cool event?
Yeah, Yeah, so, you know, we do. We have, you know, we have a bunch of artists and vendors, and, you know, it's making tattoos. That's what we're here to do. You know, there's not a sideshow here. A lot of other tattoo festivals might have some stuff like that, but we're here to celebrate tattooing, the culture, the art of it, and to just make great tattoos on the people of Green Bay and the surrounding areas. We got a lot of local artists that are here that are incredible, good friends of ours, and then a bunch of people that traveled in from all corners of the country to be here in Green Bay this weekend.
Wow. Is this like a destination? Like, I mean, are there a lot of these tattoo festivals throughout the year in different cities, or is this one of the bigger ones? Where does the Green Bay one rank?
So, yeah, we do 13 of these all across the country. And you know, we're in cities, you know, the size of Green Bay and the size of Fort Wayne, Indiana, all the way up to like Dallas, Texas, Las Vegas, Nevada, you know, so we're kind of all over in all those different populations. So Green Bay is, you know, one of the smaller populations. However, the people of Green Bay show out for things, and that's where we like to be. That's where we like to be, the places where people are passionate about, you know, the culture that they're around. And Green Bay was the perfect fit for it. We've done other festivals in Wisconsin, both in Madison and Milwaukee, and those were great because people in Wisconsin love tattoos and they're about it. And so we like to go where those people are. And so even though it's a, you know, it might be a smaller city, so to speak, you know, I know all the artists in there are really happy right now because they are cranking out a bunch of tattoos.
Wow. So that's really what it is. People go there to get tattoos, not just discuss tattoos or be immersed in the culture. Maybe that's part of it too, but they're actually applying tattoos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow. We've got all those artists, you know, all those 150, 200 artists in there making tattoos all weekend on people that are listening right now. You know, if the people listening right now come tomorrow, they can get a tattoo. Or come later tonight. We're open till 10. You know, yeah, come in. You can check out the art, all the portfolios and the flash and the pre-drawn designs and say, hey, I love that or I love that style, and talk to the artist and get a tattoo right then and there, or, you know, make an appointment for the next day and come back and get it then.
That's so great. So you keep saying we, Quinn. What is your connection exactly? Are you one of the directors or are you one of the founders? Tell the listeners a little bit about what your connection to this event is.
Yeah, so I'm the director of operations. That's my official title that my bosses let me give myself. my bosses have owned a tattoo shop in Fort Wayne, Indiana that's been around for over 20 years. And then they started the Explorer Tattoo Conference, which is the world's biggest educational conference for tattooing. So at those events, other tattooers would come and listen to really well-known, prestigious tattoo artists and learn from them, right? And so when we had hundreds of those artists from all around, they would talk about tattoo festivals and they would say, this is what we like. This is what we don't like. These are the changes that we wish were made. And we had enough of a connection to people all around that we said, well, if somebody needs to make a change or just add something new into the culture, we can talk about how that should happen or we can do it. And so we did it, and we did our first one in our hometown of Fort Wayne, did one that year. The next year we did four. The next year after that we did 12, and we're doing 13 this year and looking for more in 2026. But it's all about meeting those people, you know. We come here, we meet people that we hadn't met before, and they say, hey, have you thought about doing a show where I live? And we say, tell me about it. You know, why should we? How's the culture out there? You know, how many tattoo shops are out there? And they tell us those things, and we say, okay, yeah, that sounds great. And that's basically what happened with Green Bay, is that we did our shows in Wisconsin last year. We met artists from Green Bay. We knew our friends here. And they said, hey, if these shows have gone pretty well, you know, have you thought about Green Bay? And we said, we have, but, you know, you putting your stamp on it, putting your name to it, that means a lot. And so we looked into it, and it's been absolutely wonderful. The city is great. The KI Convention Center is incredible. So everybody here is really happy, and I hope everybody listening here comes to check it out and really celebrate with us.
Oh, I didn't realize you guys were right across the street. That explains parking today.
Well, yeah, and all the people walking by out here with tattoos.
No.
Yeah. It's always fun when we come into town and you all of a sudden see downtown like littered with people covered in tattoos. People go, there's something going on.
I do have a question for you. So you say there's like 150 to about 200 artists. Now, for each convention, is it just like in that state, or are artists traveling from other states to come to this festival.
Oh, yeah, they're traveling from all over. I don't think we have anybody. I don't think we have any international artists right now. Most of the shows that we do have an international artist. But here we have a lot of people from all across the country. It is mostly like Midwest local, you know, people that can drive in, but there's a bunch of people that have flown in, packed up all their tattoo gear and come out to Green Bay.
Wow. That is really cool. We have after you're on, Quinn, Chris Ruckdashel is on from Muskie Fest in Hayward, Wisconsin. And one of our followers on Twitter said, how about a tattoo of a muskie? So I'm sure you've seen all kinds of tattoos. When did you get into this? When did you realize you wanted this to kind of be your livelihood or your main side hustle, so to speak?
I started managing that tattoo shop that my bosses ran, and I was literally like I was waiting tables in a bar. I went to college for creative writing, which means I was working in a bar. And then, you know, I would been getting tattoos from the shop that my now bosses own since I was 18, and they were hiring a manager. And I said, yeah, that sounds cool. I love the people there. You know, I like tattoos a whole lot. And so I started managing that shop. And then they said, hey, we've got a big, crazy idea. And I said, cool. Yeah, I'm in. Let's go. And so I kind of transitioned into that. My bosses have been in it, like I said. They've been around the culture in the scene forever. And they've been, you know, pretty important to it. So I'm lucky to know them, you know, and I'm thankful and blessed to be able to be in their lives and that they have, you know, pulled me up with them. And so, yeah, you know, it was never something as a little kid that I was like, oh, I want to, you know, be in tattoos. I can't draw worth a darn at all. So it's never an option for me to be a tattoo artist. But I do love art. You know, obviously went into school for creative writing. I like the arts. And this is like, you know, it's a growing one. It's something that was seen as taboo for, you know, so long. The last state to make tattooing legal was Oklahoma, and that was 2006.
What?
Which wasn't that long ago. Yeah, 2006, Oklahoma made tattooing legal. So, you know, there is still kind of a thought around it, whether it's taboo or not. You know, there is still a thought around it, but people are starting to really, really understand in the past, you know, 10 years or so, how it's not only acceptable, but it's something to promote and to celebrate.
My guest is Quinn Hurley. He's the director of operations for the Green Bay Tattoo Festival, which is happening right now, ladies and gentlemen, at the KI Convention Center right around the corner here from WGBW. It goes through Sunday. 3,000 attendees are expected, 200 artists, 30 vendors. So I got to tell you, Quinn, this when tattoo parlors first started opening up, I'm like, well, that'll never last. You know, like, I just didn't think there'd be a market for that. And wow, was I wrong. Like, I think I'm the only person in America without a tattoo, and I'm open to it. Like, I'm actually like, maybe I would do one, you know? Can you explain the boom? How did that happen and why?
You know, I do think a part of it was just people realizing that it wasn't all just skulls and blasphemy. Right. You know, once people started getting things that started to mean more to them and be sentimental and all that kind of thing, they realized, oh, I could get that flower. I could get that name. I could get those dates, you know. And once one person does it, you know, everybody's sphere of influence is much greater than they give themselves credit for. Anybody can be a tastemaker in their own life and inspire and encourage other people to do things. And I think that's what happened with tattoo. It grew very organically. Obviously, with the tattoo shows that happened, you know, like Ink Masters, that really set it off because now you're watching it on TV. And now it's cool, and it's not just for rock stars. It's, you know, you're seeing the people that are getting tattooed, and they're like, oh, that looks like I do. And they're getting this big tattoo. And so that really made it, you know, a lot more marketable and made it so everybody kind of felt more comfortable in, you know, getting what they want to get.
That's so great. My guest is Quinn Hurley. We'll have a couple minutes left with Quinn right after this very short break. We're talking tattoos. He's right around the corner at the Green Bay Tattoo Festival. Folks, our question of the night is, who is your favorite nerd? It is McLovin's birthday. And on the stream, Daniel says, favorite nerd, George McFly from Back to the Future.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba. It's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here with new music at 7:35 and amazing conversation. Welcoming Terry back from vacation tonight. Ruckdashel. He's got a tough last name to say. I'm going to have to get better at that. He's here at 7:05 to talk Muskie Fest, and he was referred by Mark Lundin, our pal at the Muskie 101.1 in Hayward. Right now, we have a couple more minutes with our current guest, Quinn Hurley, who is in town from Fort Wayne, Indiana for Tattoo Fest. He's the director of operations. He started this whole crazy thing. Chris, are there options for needle haters?
There might be somebody in there with temporary tattoos that somebody could put on themselves. Okay. But more so than that, we have a lot of great vendors in there. People selling oddities. Every tattoo artist in there's got art and prints that people can buy. So, you know, there's definitely, if you're not wanting to get a tattoo, but you still love the art and you still love the culture, you can come in, you can support, you can check out their shirts and their merch and, you know, the vendors that are selling oddities and all that stuff. So there definitely is something for everyone.
That's excellent. And you just said something interesting, like if people already have tattoos or don't want more, or maybe they just want to hang out because it sounds like a fun group of people, like it goes till 10 p.m. Are there after parties or anything? What do you guys do after hours?
No, not tonight. Tomorrow, actually, our friends at Katana Tattoo, which is just across the river here, they're having an art night. And that's going on tomorrow, I believe, 5 to 11 p.m. So a lot of us are going to go over there tomorrow night and support them. They have art that they've done, the artists there, as well as a bunch of other tattoo artists and other mixed media artists have sent in to celebrate their 15th anniversary. I think it's their 15th anniversary. So that's what we're doing tomorrow night. No other after parties tonight, but I did hear about a place called Player 2 Arcade Bar.
It's right down the road.
And I love Galaga, so I'm going to go try and find Galaga over
there. That's a great game. All right, Quinn, I got to ask you, what is your favorite tattoo that you have? How many do you have, first of all, and what's your favorite?
I think I have 17. I think that was the last time I counted. And they're not, all big, some of them are kind of small, but my favorite tattoo is a flower I have on my leg because one of my best friends did it. I didn't know him very well when we started this whole thing. I got tattooed by him, and now we spend 4th of July together, and he's one of my best friends in this whole entire world. So I get to look at that tattoo and think of my buddy Freddie Brown.
That's fantastic. And last thing for you, what is the atmosphere like there? Like, is it competitive? I know you have a competition. I don't even know how you'd begin to judge that because it seems like it would be really subjective, but what is the atmosphere like? Is there competition between tattoo artists, or is there like a camaraderie?
It is a camaraderie. I think there's a healthy competition. Okay. We do have those competitions both for fresh tattoos and then healed ones as well. And obviously everybody wants to win a trophy. They want their tattoo to be put up on the pedestal. But it's never, you did it. Nah, I'm mad at you. It's very much right. Like, wow, that was a great tattoo. Yeah, that's great. I need to up my game a little more. So it's very much camaraderie around here. Nobody's, fighting or chomping at the bits at each other. Everybody's here to build each other up, learn, and grow.
Well, I hope it was worth the drive, my friend. Have a great festival and keep up the great work, and don't be a stranger. We'd love to talk again sometime.
Absolutely, Pete. I can't thank you enough for having me.
My pleasure. Have fun, Quinn. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. So check out Green Bay Tattoo Festival. You going to mosey over there?
I wish, but no, I got nothing for that right now. One thing I do know is I'm curious, like, how many tattoos do they get done in a day? Because some tattoos can take up to like 15 hours a sitting to do.
Yeah, I honestly was being very serious when I said that. I didn't think that would ever be something where people could make a living at it, but they're really respected. Like, it's an art form. I mean, it's incredible. You didn't tell us about Fat Weekend.
Fat Weekend.
What is that?
Okay, so Fat Weekend, we do it once, maybe twice a year, depending on how bad the year is. Like twice this year.
All right.
And basically, it's an entire weekend where you just don't give a flying F of what you eat. You can just indulge. If you want to eat dips and chips all day, go for it. It is your Fat Weekend. No repercussions unless you have
like
tummy issues.
Every weekend, basically.
So
is it like a therapeutic kind of a guilty pleasure eating thing?
Everywhere you go, everyone's talking about, you got to eat like this. You got to eat like that. And some people have weight issues. I clearly have a weight issue. So you try so hard to eat healthy and then it can get exhausting and sometimes you just need a break. And you're like, screw it, Fat Weekend. I don't care.
Guilt-free.
Doing it. For me personally right now, I have to change my diet because of medical reasons.
Oh,
so for
boy.
Me, it's a big goodbye to some of my favorite foods, like popcorn.
It's so funny popcorn. You're saying that, because I used to call it my farewell to bad eating. Like, I'm really going nuts this weekend, and then it extends another week. But here's what sucks about getting older is, you know, even if you eat healthy, that doesn't really matter. You still have to count your calories, which they don't tell you when you're young. It's a big shell game. It sucks.
Oh, my God. No, they change things every year. It's like, oh, this is healthy fat. This is great for you. Yeah. Next year, I can't believe you've been eating this. You are making yourself sick. What?
Exactly.
It's impossible to keep up.
Be a vegan. No, be a vegetarian. No, now eat keto. Now eat protein. It's like,
I'll never be a vegan. Like, don't give up cheese.
I'm not a big cheese dude. I eat it sometimes, but I the whole idea of it, I find a little gross.
You're in the wrong state, my friend.
Well, listen, I say that, but I do eat cheese, and I have a soft spot. Like, I love blue cheese on a salad with like balsamic or an occasional cheeseburger. I'm not going to sit here and toot my horn. I will say, I thought this was funny. Today, I saw an old friend, and I went in. I'm kind of a hugger, you know? And, I went in for a hug. And I wasn't really tight with him, but I was happy to see him. And mid-hug, as I'm going in, I realize he is not a hugger. And his whole body stiffened up. Like, I think he thought I was going to, like, ask him out or something. I'm like, dude, I'm just giving you a hug. I haven't seen you in forever. You ever done that? It's a very horrible feeling.
No, because I will never initiate a hug.
I apologize?
Unless it's someone I'm very intimate with. You don't like to shake hands? I don't like to give hugs.
All right, we're coming right back. We're going to talk Musky Fest after intermission. Is Peach Wabba Nightlight.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Columbia University student Mahmoud Khalil, arrested by ICE and held in a Louisiana detention center, ordered released.
A federal judge said that the government had failed to provide that this is a violent person, somebody who would attempt to flee again if he were to be arrested again. But he is far from out of the woods. Both the immigration court battle and the federal court battle are going to be playing out in separate courts.
ABC News immigration reporter Armando Garcia. 2 weeks' notice. That's what President Trump says he's giving Iran as he considers whether to strike the nation's nuclear capabilities, but he hasn't indicated whether he will strike after the 2 weeks is up. A man charged with trying to kidnap the mayor of Memphis, police say the 25-year-old